and welcome to Harvest Church Podcast. Harvest Church is based in sunny Durban, South Africa. We are a family of believers who are passionate about Jesus. We really hope this message inspires you today.
You know, we've started this year, and last Sunday I spoke a little bit for those of you that were not with us online about what it means to be trusting God when you come into a year that should have started already but has been put on hold, and what it means to come out of a year and kind of drag some stuff with you, and to realize and understand that God is right there in the middle of you when it seems like you're in the middle of nowhere in no man's land. And today I'm going to continue to talk to you about the importance of having personal faith. We spoke about one of the things that we can't do, that we can't allow COVID, that we can't allow the economy, the situation that we find ourselves in, to paralyze us to the extent where we disengage in life, where we are so paralyzed by fear, so uncertain about the time that we live in, that we are passive and disengaged in life. And we said that God is encouraging us and motivating us to engage in life, to participate, and for that we need personal faith. Now, it seems to me like the Bible is full of it. You know, whenever you go into the Word of God, and especially in the New Testament, we read about how important faith is. It speaks about without faith it's impossible to please God, and it says in Hebrews 10 that when we withdraw, when we pull back from having faith and walking in faith, it gives God no pleasure. And it's not about having faith in our faith, it's having faith in God. It's putting our confidence, our trust, and a full reliance in and upon and towards God for who He is, and so it's ultimately having faith in God, and that gives Him great pleasure when we involve God in every area and facet of our lives. And I think, I don't know about you, but going through the last year, tested and tried my faith. At times, my faith was stirred and rattled a bit, and I had to refocus and make sure that my faith is in the right place. I think a whole lot of people have been challenged in it. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of personal faith. Now, there are two kinds of personal faith, if I can just, for the sake of definition and clarification, not for separation and division. So we just want to clarify, there's a personal faith, and the Bible invites us to have a personal faith for our salvation. You know, we can't be saved through somebody else's faith. The Bible invites us to have faith in the grace and the goodness of God. Then what is the Bible says? By grace are you saved through faith. Us putting our faith in and towards what God has already done for us. And that's an important thing. So there's an invitation that we should have personal faith. We can't have a relationship with Jesus through other people's faith and through rituals and religion and all kinds of other things, but have a personal faith that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, died on the cross and paid the price for us. And then there's a personal faith in our daily application, how we live life, how we do life, and that's what I want to talk to you about. So I want to read you a scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, where Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's encouraging them. He's done a great work in and amongst them. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the first few verses, Paul is saying he's coming to visit them again for a third time. And they are questioning as to whether he's hearing and speaking on behalf of God. And then he makes a statement in verse 5, and he says this: examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Paul is writing, and they're questioning whether he speaks on God, and he says, the reason that you are in faith, the reason why you are serving God, is because I'm speaking in the name of Jesus by the power and the motivation of the Holy Spirit. But I want to kind of just put that question out to you as well, not concerning your personal faith and my personal faith, but where we are in our faith, because I believe faith is playing a key role and has always played a key role, but playing a key role where you and I are at the moment. And I believe I see people struggle, and they question God, and they question the Word, and they question what God's been saying to them, and they question the possibility of God being able to change things. And I see people struggle with what I call today your personal faith. And Paul is saying, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? And I want to say this to you. It's so important that as Christians, we live with that deep conviction and that full persuasion that we have put our confidence, our trust, our reliance fully and completely upon God, who He is, His nature, His character, His ability, His faithfulness, His nature, and therefore walk a stable and a consistent life. And Paul is saying, he's saying to them, not just in the context of testing that you're in faith because they are saved. We are saved. If you've given your life to Jesus, you are saved by grace. But as you continue to walk your road, walk with Jesus, He's inviting us to continue to exercise our confidence and the trust and reliance in and upon our faith in Him. And so Paul is saying, and I want to encourage you this morning. You know, sometimes when people give up and I talk to them, I realize they're not in faith. They might believe something, but they're more in doubt. And oftentimes, Jesus in the New Testament had to rebuke the disciples because He said, oh, you have little faith. And I want to say this to you this morning. Remember, it was little faith that caused Peter to walk on the water. If you only have little faith because you direct your faith towards the right person, Jesus, you can move mountains. You and I can move mountains, friend. It's not that we have to have all these mountains, heaps of faith. He says the smallest bit of faith in the right person, in the right direction, towards the right God, Jesus Christ, he says that can move mountains for you. And I want to encourage you, because I believe that it's essential that the body of Christ understand and know faith at this time and moment and apply their faith correctly. So Paul is saying, he says, and let me say this to you, having faith in and towards God will produce faith for anything and everything. Once you have learned, once you and I have learned to apply our faith towards God and how to put it in and towards God, will give you faith for anything and everything. And so Paul is encouraging them and says, check up on your own faith. And I want to encourage you this morning. Now, this is not a negative word. It's an encouraging, positive word, because when we come out of this service today, when we come out of this word today, you and I need to know that it's possible to have faith, to grow our faith, to develop our faith, and at times just to check up on ourselves, that we don't say that we have faith or that we believe, and in the meantime we're in unbelief and all kinds of negative things happen around us. So let's do that. Paul says, I encourage you to check up on your faith. Not compare faith with other people's faith. Not to check up on someone else's faith. Not to compete with somebody else's faith. But to examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Not as to whether you believe. You know, in James chapter 1 verse 19, or chapter 2 verse 19 rather, James is speaking on the subject of faith, and we're going to get there just now. I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I want to share this with you. He says, you say that you believe that there is a God, you do well. The demons believe and they tremble. Wow, that's quite a statement. He says, listen, he says, believing that there's a God, it's good to believe, you know. He says, but even the demons believe and they tremble. What's the difference between belief and faith? Faith has got action to it. It doesn't just believe in something. It is prepared and ready to do something about it. So he says, he's questioning. He says, I'm not asking you whether you believe. I want to know, are you in the faith? Are you in faith? Are you actively participating, walking, warfaring, and living your life, believing and trusting and relying fully that God is who He says He is, that His word is forever settled in heaven, that He will do what He promised He will do, and that all the promises are in Christ Jesus, are yes and amen. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. In 2 Corinthians, I want you to go there with me if you've got your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or rather chapter 1, verse 24. Paul is motivating and encouraging the Corinthians again. And then in verse 24, he says this, not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. One of the other translations says, by your faith you stand. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, at the end of the day, I can encourage you. I can motivate. And you know what? We live in a day and a time where it seems to me people struggle with this personal faith thing because people need a motivational word. People need encouragement. People need a pep talk. People need motivational speaking. People need the circumstances to be the right all the time. If it doesn't, they give up and they give in. And I believe it's important that God is saying to us in the day and the time that we live in, He's inviting us to say, hey, listen, I'm inviting you in to engage with me and to put your confidence and your trust in me. And if you do, you will see impossible things. You'll see amazing things happening because you trust and rely upon this wonderful, amazing God. But if you pull back, you won't give me the pleasure to show you who I am. And if you haven't got personal faith, you'll constantly rely on what other people are saying, what they're doing, and how they're stirring you up, encouraging you, motivating you, and kind of hooking onto you to help you to get there. And I'm all for encouragement and motivation, but Paul is saying something, and he says, listen, I want you to check up on yourself, examine yourself, and see whether you are in faith, not just believing, but whether you are in the faith, the kind of faith that's personal faith, so that when the test comes, and the struggle comes, and there's nobody there to motivate you. Or maybe they do it once or twice, and then they kind of disappear like mist before the sun. Or they just forget to phone you. He says that you can stand in your own faith. You see, it's very important that today you and I realize that for us to come through things, it's not having faith in our faith and faith in our confidence and confidence in ourselves and our skill. It's having faith, a personal faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, His ability, and in my intimate walk with Him. Personal. It's personal for me. It's personal for you. God's inviting you and says, listen, if you personally apply your faith, He says, I'll take you places where you've not been before. In 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 1 is the second thing I want to talk to you about. When we have personal faith and we allow God to take us on a journey of personal faith and develop genuine faith. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You see, Peter is writing, he says, listen, when you have a true personal faith, a confidence and a trust in this person called Jesus Christ, as you walk out life and trials come and resistance come and difficult times come, he says, you don't find yourself where you now double guess everything, where you question the word of God and whether God's real and whether He loves and likes you and cares about. He says, this personal faith has got the ability to resist and stand up and walk through storms of life and trials and tribulations and will not budge because it is in God. It's not in man. It's not an organization. It's not in a system. It's not in a structure. It is not in a program. It is faith in Jesus Christ. And that personal faith ends up being the genuine faith that pulls me through when nothing works out, because it knows that it's got an other side when Jesus says there's an other side and I can go through life. Not just does it help me to have a genuine faith, it helps me to have effective faith that knows how to finish strong. In that very same chapter that we've just read in verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith and the salvation of your soul. You know what, my friend? One of the things that is very concerning for me is to hear the amount of people that are giving up and giving in on their faith, where they're struggling and beginning to question Christianity and questioning God. And I want to say this to you. It shouldn't be like that, and it doesn't have to be like that, because God has made a faith available for you and me. He's placed faith within us, and he's told us how to grow and develop faith so that we don't just start strong, but end strong. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, this Christ that we are following, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Why is it that we have great and strong faith when it's in him? Because he's conquered. He's conquered sin, sickness, and death. He's conquered the cross, sin, sickness, and death. Jesus conquered it, and because our faith is in him, it's therefore possible for us to see him conquer and has conquered sin, sickness, and diseases in and through our lives. See, the problem that we face today is that a lot of people talk about faith. They discuss about believing things. And Paul is not telling us to discuss with one another what we believe. He's inviting us into a place of active faith. As I said to you before, he says in James chapter 2, verse 19, he says, the devils believe and they tremble. He says, it's not about just believing, it's about putting faith to your action to what you believe. And then he says that in verse 20, he says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You know, my friend, at this moment in time, I think it's crucial for the body of Christ to make sure that we understand what faith is. That faith is not a confidence nor a trust in our own ability and our own skills in organizations, but faith is something that we have specifically towards God, in God as to who he is, towards God in his nature, character, and that he's a reliable, trustworthy God. And because of who he is and how he expressed his love towards us and sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, who rose from the dead and is a conquering savior, it produces a confidence in me to live my life with boldness and hope because of this Jesus that I serve. And he says, listen, when you have that personal faith, that genuine faith in him, it will stand you good in the tests of time. It stand you good in life when things come your way. But you can't just have a religious version of it, a mental assent of, I believe. I hear people say, I pray and I believe, but they don't take any steps. And so Paul is saying, he says, I want you to examine yourself. My friend, I want to encourage you to not just say Christianity doesn't work and Jesus doesn't work and the Word doesn't work and things doesn't work until you've stood still and say, let me see whether I'm, not whether I believe certain things, whether I'm in faith, whether I'm actively participating in believing that Jesus is the Savior and that he can do it. See, I need to engage. And how do I get this faith? I get it through hearing. And one of the most amazing things that when I talk to people and I say to them, there's an invitation for us to grow and develop that faith as we spend time with God. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. In other words, he says, listen, faith comes. Did you hear that? Faith comes. You don't have to work for faith, grind for faith, beg for faith, plead for faith, kind of sweat for faith. The Bible says faith comes through hearing the Word of God. When you and I sit with God, when we sit with Jesus, when we sit with the Holy Spirit and we have that time of intimacy in His Word and through His Word, and we read the Word and we listen to what He's saying, God speaks to us through His Word and God speaks to us into our hearts. The very Word of God, John 6:63 says, the Word of God is Spirit and it is life. And when that Word hits my heart, it automatically produces faith in me. So faith comes to those that are prepared to spend time with God. And you know, the amazing thing to me is that too many people are not prepared to spend time with God. They spend time with one another. They spend time listening to stuff on the television. They're on their social media forever, listening to every opinion, everybody, what everybody's got to say. And it produces unbelief and doubt and cynicism and uncertainty. And so they end up in a place where they become unbelieving believers. And I want to encourage you, for us, for you and me, to make it this year. There might be times that friends encourage you, and it's good to encourage one another. But I want to say to you, there might just be might be times where you might feel alone and uncertain, and you might not get all the stuff that you want to get to pull you through. And it's then when you have to have a personal, authentic, genuine faith that can stand the test of time. And that comes through spending time with Jesus. Comes through you and me spending time in His Word, reading the Word and listening to what He's saying to us. It comes through us humbling ourselves and praying by expressing to God our needs, our uncertainty, the things that we're concerned about, by talking to God and let Him respond back as to how He sees it, because God has got a different perspective from you and me and sees things from a higher vantage point. And when He speaks that word to us, it produces a faith. And then I want to say to you, by recording that, I see too many people just have head faith and head conversations and head intimacy. And I want to say to you, if you do business with God, like in any other business, or in anything that is important that we get involved in, make a note. Make a note on your iPad. Make a note on your phone. Make a note or write it down in your journal. But if God speaks to you and it ignites faith in you and it gives you direction and motivates you and brings you hope, write it down so that you can say, just like Jesus said to the devil at times when he attacks you and cause you to double guess yourself and question the purposes of the kingdom, that you can say, no, I've had time with God and I read and I reread and I've prayed and God spoke to me and it's written and presently still on record. You see, my friend, one of the most amazing things to me is when Paul again writes to the Corinthians, he says, we have the same spirit of faith. He talks about a spirit of faith in 2 Corinthians 4:13. And he says, because we have the same spirit of faith than what you have, we believe, and because we believe, we speak. You see, it's impossible for faith to be quiet. Real faith speaks. It believes something, but because it's ready to take action, it speaks and then follows through. And I want to say this to you, it's an amazing thing to me to see how many people say they believe, but they end up with this spirit of fear. And Paul writes to them in Timothy, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And in Corinthians, he calls it a spirit of faith. That power, love, that love of God that we experience, that love of God towards us, for us, around us, that He releases in us because the Spirit of God dwells within us. Release. So then faith that worketh by love, that love produces a faith that causes us to rise up and step out. And we end up with a spirit of faith. See, my biggest challenge that I face is that we can get so busy with things and can get so busy discussing things and being in meetings and strategizing and working out plans that we hear everybody's so-called strategy and everybody's opinion and everybody's new idea and everybody's new blog and everybody's new social post that has an idea as to what should happen and could happen and must happen, and we forget to spend time with God. And He says, why don't you just come to me? See, in the busyness of life, that's the thing that you and I need to protect, that amongst all the noises and all the voices, that we make sure that we hear the voice that produces faith in our hearts. Amongst the voices of the world, the voices in our head, the voices of friends, the religious voices, the voices of doubt and unbelief, that somehow we make sure that we hear the voice of God. My friend, listen to me. I want to encourage. It's not going to be an easy year. It's going to be a challenging year. And that doesn't mean it has to be a bad year. But it's going to be a challenging year. That's why I read you that scripture in Peter that says that the trying and the challenges that will come your way will prove and show the genuineness of your faith. Because true faith, look it full in the face. It gets out of the boat in the storm and walks on the water. And God is inviting us into a place where He says, I want you to make sure that you're in faith, not just believe something. And I want you to know that faith will grow as you spend time with me, as you put your head against my chest on a daily basis, on a regular basis, because Jesus invites us. People say to me, I prayed the other day, God gave me a prophetic word, but today I feel discouraged again. It's now 2 weeks later and I thought it will last longer. I said, listen, God said, I'll give you your daily bread, not your monthly bread. And it's important that you and I understand that there's an invitation from God towards you and me and say, make sure that this year you don't just talk about believing, you don't just talk about things that you say you trust for, but that you're in faith and that you've got personal faith and a faith, genuine faith that is based on a confidence and a trust in Jesus. And then James Wright, he says, and make sure that it's a faith that is acting. What profit is it in proclaiming that you have faith and you have no works? Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So James is saying, he says, listen, listen carefully now. I'm closing. He says this, faith without works is dead. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Wow. In other words, James is saying in this whole thing, he says, you know, there's a whole lot of people in another place, and James is writing, he says, your faith has gone shipwreck. And I don't think the faith has gone shipwreck because God changed his mind concerning his promises, or God is not up to fulfilling his promise, or God has gone tired or kind of decided to pull back on what he promised. None of that has changed. He said, all my promises are yes and amen. And if God have spoken to you in a personal context concerning your life, concerning your business, your family, your mental situation, or your physical health, if God has given you a word and you've got that word, that promise in Christ is yes and amen. The question is that we'll stay in faith. That will not allow the enemy and opinions and the things in the world to veer us off course and cause us to start speaking doubt and unbelief. To start going to a place where we question instead of, because you see, faith takes steps of obedience. I'm not talking about obeying, trying to obey to get God's approval. I'm talking about a person that is walking in relationship with God, that hears God's voice, and God is saying, I want, like he said to the disciples on the wedding, he says, listen, you can't change water into wine, but I'm going to tell you what you need to do to change this whole setup today into a glorious feast and not a depressive end. And so he's saying to them, take the water pots, fill it with water and pour it into the bigger pots. And so they did. What an amazing, silly thing to do. But because they heard his voice and they obeyed it, there was a result. And I want to say this to you today, my friend. Don't let the devil catch us and speak us and talk us out of our promises. And then we blame it on God. And then we say, well, God doesn't want to do it and things doesn't work and the word doesn't work. God is inviting us. He's saying to us, listen, without faith, it's impossible to please me. And when you draw back, when you stop believing, trusting and relying upon me, then you don't give me the privilege to show you who I am. And James, right, he says, and don't just say you believe and don't act. You see, we can't say that we have a promise from God or a prophetic word from God and go home and then act or behave or respond in the exact opposite way. We can't say we believe God and then behave in a different way. We can't say we've heard from God and that he's gave us a promise and everything in my life and how I live and how I walk and how I talk speak opposite of what I say I believe. That's not faith. And Jesus is inviting us. He says there's an action, there's a step that you and I need to take that we call obedience towards the voice of God that ignites faith in us that it's worthwhile trusting Him and relying upon Him to get us through it. And so whatever it is that you believe in God for, you know, in your personal life, maybe you're struggling in your personal life with where you find yourself in this chaotic world that we live in. Maybe you're struggling, maybe you're going to a place where your soul is a bit depleted and you're struggling to believe and keep yourself together. Maybe your marriage, your relationship is struggling and you need to rebuild it and everything is going pear-shaped and you're beginning to say things because of what you see. And it's time where God says, don't just ask people to pray. Don't just say that you believe and then act and behave in the opposite way. He says, but at this moment in time, check yourself out. Are you in the faith? That means, do you intentionally, deliberately are putting your confidence and your trust in God? Are you spending time with Him so that He can speak words of faith to you? Are you reading the Word that will build you up and give you life? Are you praying, bending your knee and posturing yourself in worship before Him and say, Lord, I need your help, and listen to what He says, and then I want to suggest write it down so you won't forget it, so that you can refer back to it and see God do amazing things and then respond in obedience. You know, my friend, I really believe it's going to be a crucial year for us to have personal faith, to have authentic, genuine faith, to have faith that can stand to the end so that we don't allow the enemy, people, circumstances, or ourselves to rob us from the promises of God that he has made, not just 2,000 years ago on the cross, but as he speaks to you right now concerning your life, your family, and your future. And I want to encourage you, let's stand up, let's rise up this year and make sure that we are a people of faith, not a people of doubt and unbelief. And this morning, your first step, somebody's first step this morning is to put his faith and his confidence in what Jesus has done on the cross so that you can get saved, so that you can experience the righteousness that comes from Jesus, not your own efforts. And then for those of you that are struggling in life, don't you want to examine before you allow the enemy to take you through down the road of doubt and unbelief and negativity, to say, Lord, I choose to believe today. I choose to examine myself and make sure that I put my faith in you and in nothing else, so that God can call you out, call you forth, and call you into what he's got for you, your family, your friends, and your business this year, in Jesus' name. Remember, we love you. We continue to pray with you and believe with you. And let us stand together in our own faith, but also together with all our faith, seeing how God take us to the other side, in Jesus' name. Amen.